Today's daf is Bechoyrois daf Yud Ches. We will begin four lines from the bottom of daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis Toshma. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza. So the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, Shabbos' daf, discussed a Rochel Shaloi Bikra, who hadn't given birth to a child yet, the oldest Shnei Scharin, and gave birth to twins, twin boys, two Scharin, the Yatsu Shnei Rosheim Ka'achas, and both of them came out at exactly the same time. Rabbi Yitzhak Lili says, Shneim Lekar, they're both the Bechar, being that they both came out at the same time, they're both the Bechar, you have to give both of them to the Kayin. And even though you would think only one Bechar, not two, says Rabbi Yosef Aglili, from the Pasuk it's actually mashma not that way. Shenemar hazecharim mashem. Zecharim is lashon rab. The chachamim say ef shel tzantzin. It's impossible for both to have come out at the same time. And even though we don't know which one came out first, but we know for sure it's only one of them that came out first. As a result, echad loiv, echad l'kay. One of them, the Yisrael gets to keep for himself, and it's only one of them that he has to give to a kohen. Either way, so a machlokes Rabbi Yosi Aglili and the Chachamim, in the event that this Rachel gave birth to twins, they both came out seemingly at the same time. Are both of them treated b'kedushas bechar? Only one of them. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, both are. According to the Chachamim, only one is. Now, the Mishnah gave the reason in addition to the halacha for this machloikis. The Chachamim say, it's impossible for both of them to have come out at the same time. So for that reason, only one of them has Kedushas Bechar. What does Rabbi Yosef Aglili hold? Clearly he holds Efshel Litzamtzin. In other words, the machloikis, Rabbi Yosef Aglili and the Chachamim in our Mishnah, is whether we say Efshel Litzamtzin, it's possible for two things to happen at the same time, or Efshel Litzamtzin, it's impossible for two things to happen at the same time. Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds Efshel Litzamtzin, the Chachamim hold Efshel Litzamtzin. Being that the beer in the machloikis is whether we say Efshel Litzamtzin or Efshel Litzamtzin, it's for that reason that the Gemara in Amud Beis took this machloikis and applied it to other areas in Shas as well. Because it's not a machloikis that deals specifically with Bechar, but rather it's a machloikis that has global ramifications. Anytime you're dealing with a sugya where it's negeya, is it possible for two things to happen simultaneously? So you have to ask the question, Efshel Litzamtzin or Efshel Litzamtzin? What's the halacha? It's a Mishnah. A Mishnah in the second parak of Masechtas Bechoris, a machloikis, Rabbi Yosi Aglili in the Chachamim. Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds Efshel Litzamtzin, the Chachamim hold Efshel Litzamtzin. Stating that, the Gemara pondered a little bit Beshitas Chachamim, who clearly hold Efshel Litzamtzin. Is that only because the two things that we're trying to debate, whether they have happened at the same exact time or didn't happen at the same exact time, happened bidei shamayim? Meaning, there was no person that controlled the exact moment of the childbirth of these two Scharim, and it's only there that the Chachamim hold Efshel Litzamtzin. What would be if the two things that are being discussed are things that happen bidei Adam? Would the Chachamim hold there too Efshel Litzamtzin? Or maybe bidei Adam, the Chachamim would hold Efshel Litzamtzin. What's the difference? It could be if it's happening bidei Adam, a person can be conscious and he can try to make an effort to make the two things happen simultaneously. The Gemara has it said that the Chachamim Shita of Efshel Litzamtzin is only when the things that are happening are the bidei Shamayim. But if it happens bidei Adam, not. Either way, that was the Shaila that was posed on the top of Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, and the Gemara is going to continue that discussion in the first part of today's daf. So, the Gemara Tashma, I'll bring you a raya from the halacha of Egla Rufa. So, what's the halacha of Egla Rufa? The pasuk says that in the event that you find a chalo, you find a corpse, and we have no idea who killed this person. Clearly, there was some sort of homicide. Who the reitzeach was, we have absolutely no idea. The Torah says, "V'hoyu ha'ira kroiv el achol," the city that's closest to the chol, "V'lo kuzik ne'ahirah hi eglas basar," the elders of that city have to go outside, they have to take an eglas basar, and they have to perform this ritual that's going to give kapara to whoever it was that actually killed this person. But who is it that has to bring the Egla Rufa? It's the Ir HaKroiv El HaChol. It's the city that's closest to the Chol. Zok de Braisa. Nimtza b'chov v'mesh de ha-yoreis. What happens if the Chol was found in between two cities? So it's not closer to one city versus the other. It's mamish in between two cities. Says the Braisa Shteim Avir Shtei Aglois. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that both cities have to bring an Egla. The Torah says, V'hoyo ha-ir ha-kroiv el ha-chol. Over here you have two cities that are kroiv el ha-chol. So that reason, says Rabbi Eliezer, both cities are going to have to bring the Chol. Says the Gemara, if both cities bring the Chol, what are you essentially saying? You're saying that it's closest to both. Because only the city that's closest to the Chalal is the one that brings the Egla Arufa. If you tell me that two cities bring the Egla Arufa, Zoysay Meres, two cities are Kroiva. How's that possible? Doesn't it have to be either closer to one or the other? Must be Efshel Etzantzim. Now the Gemara makes two anachas in the question. Number one, the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Eliezer is going b'shitas chachamim who hold E Efshel Etzantzim. So if it's E Efshel Etzantzim, ordinarily two things don't happen simultaneously. In the case of our Mishnah, there would only be one Bechar, not two Bechar. It's not possible they both came out at the same time. Why over here Efshel Etzantzim? Says the Gemara, and this is the bigger chiddush, the bigger hanacha, must be that over here we're dealing with something that happened b'day Adam, and even the chachamim that hold E Efshel Etzantzim, it's only b'day Shemayim that it's E Efshel Tzamtzim. But when you're dealing with something that's Bidei Adam, over there it's going to be Efshel Tzamtzim. Now, at first glance, why is this Bidei Adam? Because Bezdin, the Ziknei O'ir, are the ones that are going to measure. So they measured which city is the closest to, and it came out that it was equally as close to both cities. Thus, Efshel Tzamtzim, Bidei Adam, because this happened through human intervention. The problem is that L'chaira, the measuring of the Ziknei Ha'ir is just to determine where the Chala landed. But where the Chala landed is not something that was done conscientiously Bidei Adam, meaning when the Reitzeach killed, he didn't say, I want it to be exactly in between these two cities. It would be what we would consider Bidei Shemayim. What's the difference between Bidei Shemayim and Bidei Adam? Bidei Adam is when you're being Mechavin. Bidei Shemayim is when you're not being Mechavin. Or it happens, it's an act of God. It happens Bidei Shemayim. But in this case, it's for sure more similar to Bidei Shemayim, not Bidei Adam. So if that's the case, why is the Gemara even treating this as an Efshel Etzamtzim Bidei Adam? I understand that it's Adam, it's human beings that are measuring and they're going to tell us where it's closer to. But whether or not it landed exactly in between the two cities is not something that was done by Kavana. As a result, that shouldn't fall into the category of Bidei Adam. It should really fall into the category of Bidei Shemayim. So what's Pashim Shana in the Gemara? You know what Kasha that is? That's Tosfos Kasha. You may have noticed a very long Tosfos that starts on the top of Daf Yudzayin Amud Beis. It goes into the middle of Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Tosfos starts with this Kasha on Rashi's understanding of how Efshel Etzamtzim and E Efshel Etzamtzim works, and it's because of this Kasha, Tosfos has a whole different pshat in the sugya of Efshel Etzamtzim. But either way, we'll go with Rashi's pshat for now. I will accept that for some reason, throughout the course of the first part of today's daf, Egla Arufa is treated as an Efshel Etzamtzim Bidei Adam, not an Efshel Etzamtzim Bidei Shemayim. So if that's the case, again, Freik de Gemara, you have a Braisa where Rabbi Eliezer said that if they found the Cholol equally between two cities, that loch is they both bring the Egla Arufa. Now, my time, but what's the reason? Let me show you something Bidei Adam, Efshel Etzamtzim. Must, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that when it comes to Bidei Adam, Efshel Etzamtzim. The Kroiva, Filo Kroiva. So you have to add that even though the Pasuk says, Vahoyo Ir HaKroiva LaCholol, which sounds like a drush, only one city brings it. No, Lav Nafka. And Afilu Kroivais. The bottom line is, you see that the Chachamim who hold in our mission, Efshel Etzamtzim, it's only Bidei Shemayim that Efshel Etzamtzim, Bidei Adam Efshel Etzamtzim. The Gemara says, Loi, the obvious Dichoy Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Yosei Haglili. How do you know Rabbi Eliezer holds like the Chachamim? Maybe he holds like Rabbi Yosei Haglili, Dama Efshel Etzamtzim, Bidei Shemayim, who holds you could always be Metzamtzim, even Bidei Shemayim. And if that's the case, Vekolshkim Bidei Adam, so you have no raya that Rabbi Eliezer holds that even if Efshel Etzamtzim, Bidei Shemayim, Efshel Etzamtzim, Bidei Adam, that would be true. If you had a raya that Rabbi Eliezer holds like the Chachamim in our Mishnah, who said he holds like the Chachamim? Maybe he holds like Rabbi Yosei Haglili. If he holds like Rabbi Yosei Haglili, he holds Efshel Etzamtzim Bidei Shemayim. And if that's the case, Kal V'Chomer is going to hold Efshel Etzamtzim Bidei Adam. So the Gemara, Nevi Ketano. You have no raya from that Rabbi Eliezer. But here we have a braisa where it's in fact a machloikis tanon. You have Rabbi Eliezer Shita, and there's another Shita as well. And the Gemara is going to argue that maybe this Shaila, again, according to the Chachamim, that Efshel Etzamtzim Bidei Shemayim, perhaps Efshel Etzamtzim Bidei Adam is a machlokes tanon. Another braisa that discusses Egla Ruf. Same case. Nimtza b'chov v'meshdei ha'yaretz, if they found the cholol equidistantly between two cities, they didn't do the Egla Ruf. Rebbe Lezer says what he said in the previous braisa, shtei mevir shtei eglas. No, both cities have to bring an egla. Zok the Gemara, my lava hakim, if we here already have a machlokes, it must be the Tanakama sovar Efshel Etzamtzim. The Tanakama holds Efshel Etzamtzim. Rebbe Lezer sovar Efshel Etzamtzim. Rebbe Lezer holds Efshel Etzamtzim. So at the very least, what you see from here is that the Tanakama holds Efshel Etzamtzim, even Bidei Adam. So let's at least bring a raya that there's a shita that holds that Efshel Etzamtzim, not only Bidei Shemayim, but even Bidei Adam. But the Gemara says, V'tizbro, Ikasava Tanakama, Efshel Etzamtzim, if Pshad and Tanakama that holds, in this case, where it's in between two cities, none of them bring it, it's because Efshel Etzamtzim, you don't know which one should bring it, and Mailo Yoyo Orphan. If they hold Efshel Etzamtzim, that's a reason that nobody should bring it, just the opposite. That's a reason that
one of the two should bring it. Okay, how do you know which one should bring it? Yaviu egla achas b'shutfus. Let them both pay for it together, partners. V'yisnun, they should make a tanai that if I'm the one that has to, I'll do it. If you're the one that has to, you'll do it. But the point is that pshat and the chachamim is that they hold Yev Shalitzan saying, that's not a reason that nobody should bring it. If anything, in Svar, it's a reason that they should both bring it b'shutfus, come out with some sort of tanai, and whichever city is really closest, that's the one that will do it. Eli, you have to say, l'hani tanai d'kuliyam Yev Shalitzan. If I can. All the time I'm in this price of hold, Efshel Litzam saying, what's then the machloikis? The machloikis is, it says in the Torah, V'hoi Irak Kroiv. Does that mean only one city brings it? Does that mean two cities bring it? Tanakam is of a Kroiv of a Loi Kroiv Ois. There's a meal, Kroiv of a Loi Kroiv Ois. And if I care, Pshad in the Tanakam is, the Tanakam holds Efshel Litzam saying, being that Efshel Litzam saying, there's really two cities that have to bring it. We have a Jerusha Kroiv of a Loi Kroiv Ois. That's why nobody brings it. You can't tell me make it tonight. Make it tonight would work if Efshel Litzam saying. So really, it's only one city. We don't know which one. So make the Tanai. But being that, to the contrary, Efshel Litzam saying, so it's for that reason the Tanai is meaningless. It's just a question, should both bring it or none bring it? The Tanakama hold Kroiva v'lei Kroiva is, thus no one brings it. Rebbe Eliezer Sava, Kroiva v'afilu Kroiva is, my Havi, hello, what's the bottom line? I'm Rebbe Chibar Abin, I'm Rebbe Amrin, Tana. Bring a raya from a third brisa that also discusses the same exact case. Egla Rufa, Nimtz, Mechuv, Mishdeh, Yoroi, if you found the Cholo in between two cities, Rebbe Eliezer, Mishdeh, Mishdeh, same Rebbe Eliezer, it's in Dritten, it's the same Rebbe Eliezer. Both cities have to bring an Egla. Chachamim Oimrim, Yaviu, Egla, Achas, Beshutfis, V'yisnu. Here we have a different Shitas Chacham. In the previous price, the Chachamim said, no one does it. Here the Chachamim say, in this price, it's a different Chachamim, but here the Chachamim say, bring one ego, do it Bishut. It says the Gemara, Maikas Avi Rabban, what do Rabbanon hold? Ikas Avi Rabban, the Efshel Litzam same. If the Rabbanon hold Efshel Litzam same, V'krev Afil Krev voice, Laisi Tarti, then they both should bring it. Ikrev Avalai Krev voice, if they hold Efshel Litzam same, but there's no such thing as two cities bringing that Glad Rufa, Afil Chodolai Laisi, then no one should bring it. Elolav Shmami, no. Must be Kasavri Rabbanon EF Shulitzam same. The Rabbanon hold EF Shulitzam same. Vafilu Bidei Adam. And even though, like we said, Egla Rufa is a case of Bidei Adam, the Chachamim hold that even Bidei Adam EF Shulitzam same. And it's for that reason. So what do? It's not two cities that are chayiv, it's one city. We just don't know which one. As a result, make the tonight. But the bottom line is Shmamina. What you see from here is that according to the Chachamim that hold EF Shulitzam same, it's not only EF Shulitzam same Bidei Shamayim, but it's EF Shulitzam same Bidei Adam as well. So either way, yeah, we're learning sugyas and masechtas b'chayres that deal with a rachel shalai bikra, and she gave birth to two babies, and we're not sure which one is which, and the Gemara somehow digressed into halachos of egla rufa, where you found a challah, it was closest to two cities, so do both cities bring the Egla Rufa? Does nobody bring the Egla Rufa? Do you bring one Egel for the two with a Tanai? It seems to be a big discussion amongst the Tanam. Had we go from the halachas of Bechiris to the halachas of Egla Rufa, it's because there's a common denominator between the two discussions. And that is Efshel Litzamtzim and E-Efshel Litzamtzim. And what emerged is that although it's a Mefurish and Mishnah, that it's a Machloikis, Rabbi Yosef Glil and the Chachamim, whether Efshel Litzamtzim, E-Efshel Litzamtzim, and the Shitas HaChachamim, that's the majority opinion amongst the Tanam, was E-Efshel Litzamtzim, stating that the Gemara had a tzad that maybe Efshel Litzamtzim is only true when we're dealing with Bidei Shamayim. But once there's human intervention, even as subtle as in the case of Egla Rufa, where the human intervention is the Ziknei Eir are going to measure and we're going to figure out which city it's closest to, that's enough to say that it's Bidei Adam. And the Gemara has a tzad that where you're dealing with Bidei Adam, even the Chachamim that hold Efshel Litzamtzim would hold Efshel Litzamtzim. The Maaseh, the Gemara seems to come out Shmamina Kasavi Rabbanon Efshel Litzamtzim Vafilu Bidei Adam. Either way, the Gemara is going to now go back to the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to have a rather detailed discussion of the Mishnah itself. So it's Kedai Techazer over the Mishnah. And the truth is that in the Mishnah, Nafi Zayin Amid Aleph, there were four Machlokes Tanav. Very important. Number one, Rachel Shalai Bikra, the oldest Shnei Scharim, a Rachel that had never given birth to a child, and now gave birth to twins, two boys, the Yatsu Roshay and Ka'achas, and both heads came out at exactly the same time. Rav Yisak Lili Yoy Mishneim L'Koyin Shneim Ha'atzcharim L'Hashem. Yisak Lili holds Efshel Litzamtzim. V'chachamim Oymrim Efshel Litzamtzim. Echad Leiv, Echad L'Koyin. So the first machlokes is in the Mishnah is in the case where the two scharim came out at the same time. What do you do? Do you say that they're both Kaddish B'Kedushas Bechar, or is only one of them Kaddish B'Kedushas Bechar? According to the Chachamim, only one. Next machlokes. So if one of them has Kedushas Bechar, we clearly don't know which one. So which one of these two
babies, which one of these two animals are you going to give to the Kohen, and which one are you going to keep for yourself? That's the second machlekes. Reb Tarfon says, the Kohen gets to pick the better one. Me, you have to give the better one to the Kohen. Rabbi Akiva says, Mishamnim Beinei, which we'll see in the Gemara means, Rabbi Akiva holds just the opposite, that you get to keep the better one, and you give the Kohen the inferior one. So one of them goes to the Kohen. Machlekes, Rabbi Akiva and Reb Tarfon, which one goes to the Kohen? According to Reb Tarfon, who himself was a Kohen, you give the better one to the Kohen. According to Rabbi Akiva, who was a Ben Gerim, he keeps the better one, you give the Shvacher one. The Hasheni, as it relates to the second one, the one that you're keeping, Yirat Sheyistoy. You can't just treat it as Chulin, and the reason is because you don't know. At the end of the day, it's a Safik. We're not sure which one is the Bechar. So you have to treat it like a Safik Bechar. What's the halacha of Safik Bechar? You let it sit around, you wait until it gets a mum. Once it gets a mum, it's already Chulin. At that point, you're allowed to eat it yourself. V'chayiv b'matanus. For Rabbi Yossi Paita, the third Machlekes. So the one that you kept for yourself, which was technically a Safik Bechar, after it gets a mum, I could eat it. Am I chayv matonos? Do I have to give the zroy v'chayayim and cave it to a kohen or not? According to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, what the Gemara is going to say is Rav Meir, chayv matonos. Rav Yossi Poiter, Rav Yossi says you don't have to give matonos. That's the third machlokes. The fourth machlokes, meisach mehem. What happens if one of them dies? So before you had a chance to figure out what to do, one of them was dead. So by the time you came to the Rav, there was only one of these two sheep. Which, what do you do with that? Rav Tarfon Omer Yachloit. Rav Akiva Omer, HaMoitza Mechaveri, Olav Araya. Zachar Nekeva, in the event that Rachel Shalai Bikra gave birth to twins, one was a boy, one was a girl, and again, you don't know which one was born first, well, there it's Pashat, there ain't the Kayan Klum, the Kayan doesn't get anything, because it's a Savik Bechar. Savik Bechar, you're going to keep it, HaMoitza Mechaveri, Olav Araya. So again, there's four machlokes in the Mishnah. Rachel Shalai Bikra, V'yolda Shnei Zachar. Number one, do you give both to the Kayan, or do you give one to the Kayan? Number two, on the tzad that you give one to the Kohen, do you give the better one to the Kohen? Do you give the inferior one to the Kohen? Shaila number three, the one that you keep for yourself, are you chayev in matonis? Do you have to give Zroi L'chaim and Keva? Do you not have to give Zroi L'chaim and Keva? Shaila number four is if one of them dies, what do you do with the other one? Koin to Rav Tarfon, Yachloiku. Koin to Rav Yakiva, HaMoitze Mechaveroi, Olaverai. Zok to Gemara. Tarfon, Oime, HaKoin Barilai Sayof. The Gemara already discussed the first Machloikas, so the Gemara jumps right into the second one. According to the Chacham, that you keep one, you give one to the Koin. Rav Tarfon said you give the better one to the Koin. Rav Yakiva said, Mishamnin. Zok to Gemara, what's the Rav Tarfon that says you give the better one to the Koin? My time to Rav Tarfon, Yosava, Hudabari, Nafik Bereish. Rav Tarfon held the Svara that the healthier of the two, the better one is probably the one that came out first. Because it's a svara that the stronger animal was the one that was able to push itself out of the rechem of its mother quicker. It's for that reason that you give the yotha to the kohen. It's not a svara, give the better one to the kohen when you don't know what to do. It's actually an umdana, says Rav Tarfon. It makes sense. Because it makes sense that the bari is the stronger. That's not for sure, but it's mistabit that that's the way it is. And if it's mistabit that's the way it is, that's the one you give to the... You're giving it to the kohen not because of the better. You're giving it to the kohen because we assume that that's the one that's actually the bechor. Rav Kiva said, Mishamnim. What does Mishamnim mean? Om Rav Chibar Abba, Om Rav Yoichana. HaKohen Noitel Krusha. What it means is that the kohen ends up taking the inferior one. The way we explained it in the Mishnah. So after Rabbi Yochanan said this, Rabbi Chibar Abba told Rabbi Yochanan, "V'anan mishamnim beinayin tanan." Doesn't sound like that from the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Mishamnim beinayin. Mishamnim beinayin doesn't sound like you give the kohen the inferior one. Amalei. So Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Chibar Abba, "Ada ochlis kaf naisa bebavel targimna misefa." Rashi says that what he was telling was that while you were eating your good food, you were eating tamarim and bavel, and you were, you know, enjoying yourself and indulging in some of the pleasures of Olam Hazeh, we were schwitzing in Eretz Yisrael. And at that point, you know, we figured out already exactly what this means. And how did we know that what Rabbi Akiva meant when he said Misham Nebenei was that you give the inferior one to the Kohen? I know from the Sefer, Tani Sefer, Meisach HaMayim, if one of them dies, Rabbi Tarfon HaMayim Yachloik, Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Meitzah Mechaveri, Olav Araya. Navizlo Gadayit Chavsham Nebenei, Dichad Adi Pligi, if Rabbi Akiva holds that you don't give the inferior one to the Kohen, but Misham Nebenei means something else, such as maybe split the difference or something along those lines. Then here too in the Sefer, the halacha should be the same thing. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan said that the word Misham Nebenei is very ambiguous. It's unclear. It's not clear what it means. But Rabbi Yochanan said, I know from the Sefer Rabbi Akiva holds. Because we're dealing with Shittas Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva said a halacha in the Sefer, if one of the two animals dies, what do you do?
The Yisrael gets to keep the one animal that's alive. So you see Rabbi Akiva Shita in this Inyan. Rabbi Akiva holds Amoitza Mechavei Olav Araya. So just like Amoitza Mechavei Olav Araya, when one of the two animals die, so to Amoitza Mechavei Olav Araya, where there's a better one and a Shvacher one, and you're not sure which one to give to the Kohen, Amoitza Mechavei Olav Araya says, then I'm going to keep the better one. What then does the Lashon Mishamnim Beineihem mean? Rabbi Akiva didn't just say, give the Shvacher one to the Kohen. He said, Mishamnim in it. What it means is, Elamai Mishamnim, Shumin Yehei Beineihem. The difference between the better one and the inferior one should be Beineihem, meaning they should go to court. The Amalei LeKayin, and what's going to happen if you go in front of a Bezdin? Bezdin's going to tell the Kayin, I see Rai, the Bukharu, Vashkil. They're going to tell him, I'm Yitzim Echavei, all of a Rai. The point is, Rabbi Akiva holds that it's the Shvacher one you give to the Kayin, whereas Reb Tarfon says it's the better one you give to the Kayin. Now, Reb Tarfon said, clearly, you give the better one to the Kayin. Rabbi Akiva used this Lashon of Misham Nebineim, which almost sounds like some sort of Yachloiko. And that's what Rabbi Akiva Rabba understood. Rabbi Yochanan said that it's true, although the words Misham Nebineim are a little mashma like you, but from the Seifa of the Mishnah, it's clear Rabbi Akiva holds. Akiva holds on Moitzim Echaveri Olav Araya, he'd have to hold that in the Reish as well. What then does Misham Nebineim mean? Not split the difference, but go fight over the difference. And if you fight over this difference, Bezin is going to resolve this very simply. They're going to say, right now the Yisrael is the Muchzik, the Kohen. You want the better one? Prove that that's the one that came out first. You can prove it. I see Rai Ushkel. That's all Misham Nebineim means. Vasheni, what do you do with the second one? Yirat Sheyistoyev. You can't just eat it. You have to treat it like a Safik Bechar. V'chayi b'matono is Rabbi Yossi Pot. Zet Gemar, my time is Rav Meir. What's Pshan Rav Meir? Now, there's really no Rav Meir in the Mishnah. But clearly, the Tanakama of that Machloik is Rabbi Yossi, and the Tanakama, whether you chayi b'matono or not, was Rameh. So it says the Gemara, my time of the Rameh, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Hoyo v'koyim ba'olam eshteit tzadim, because the Kohen could come to this Yisrael, Meman of Shach, he could tell him, the Amalei Bechar, who, if it's a Bechar, right, it's a Safik Bechar. It's a Man of Shach. If it's a Bechar, Kulin did you, then it's all mine. And Eloi Bechar, who, and if it's not a Bechar, then it's regular Kulin. Have the Matanus Mineh. I mean, the only tzad that you shouldn't give the Kohen, Bechayra, the Matanus, is because you're treating it as Kulin. What's the other tzad? It's a Bechar. So says Rameh, it's Pasha Yichayev in Matanos. Because Maman of Shach, what are the two possibilities with this animal? Either it's the Bechar, or it's not the Bechar. If it's the Bechar, the whole thing goes to the Kayin. If it's not the Bechar, it's Chulin, then at least the Zroi L'chaim and Keva go to the Kayin. Meaning, it's sad that it's you don't have to give him the Zroi L'chaim and Keva, it's not because it's an oil or a shlamin, it's because it's a bachar. If it's a bachar, you have to give the whole thing to the Kohen. So he's bala mishnei tzadim, which is another way of saying maman of shach, and it's for that reason, says Rav Meir, it's pasha, why you'd have to give him the matanas. Rabbi Yossi, my time. What is Rabbi Yossi? He says, you don't have to give the matanas. L'chay Rav Meir is coming with a good taina. Amar Rava. So Rava said a major lamdas. Asu she'ina zoicha ki zoicha. Rabbi Yossi held that really there's a third possibility, and that is, there is a time where Bechar, or an Balmum, for example, you would not have to give the matanos to the Kohen. Meaning, it's true, if a person has a Bechar Balmum, so he has to give, or he has a Safik Bechar. So, Mamar of Shach, you have to give, we said, the Zroi L'chaim and Keva to the Kohen. Either you have to give the whole thing to the Kohen, or at the very least, you should have to give the matanos. What would be if you gave an animal to a Kohen, and now the Kohen gave the animal back to you? So in that case, we saw this in the end of Masechtas Chulin, there you wouldn't be chayiv anymore to give the Zroi L'chaim and Keva. Once you get it back from the Kohen, at that point you're not mechuyev to do it. Rabbi Yossi held that the Chachamim, for whatever reason, and it's mysterious, but for whatever reason, the Chachamim decided that we're going to look at this Safik Bechar that you're keeping as if you got it from the Kohen. And if you got it from the Kohen, you don't have a chayiv Zroi L'chaim and Keva. If I have the Safik Bechar, it was born, and now I have a suffix. Then Mamar of Shach, but the Kohen is Bala Mishneit Stadim, I have to give the Zroi L'chaim and Keva. But for some reason, the Chachamim didn't want you to give the Zroi L'chaim and Keva. We'll see a shtickle svara in the course of the Gemara. But the Chachamim, the punchline, at the very least, just to understand, Pashim Shana in the Gemara, is Asu She'enu Zaycha Kazaycha. The Enu Zaycha is the Kohen. They made the Kohen, who never got that animal, he got either the better one or the worst one, depending on Reb Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. But the one that the Yisrael kept for himself, they made it as if he had gotten it. The Gemara says, even though he never got it, command the Matli Yode, it's as if he got it. And now he sold it to the Yid. And if a Yid buys an animal from a Kohen, he doesn't have to give anymore the Zroya L'chaim and Keva. So a Meir said, Maman of Shach, you have to give the Zroya L'chaim and Keva. What was the Maman of Shach? Because either it's a Bechar or it's Chulin. Bechar, you have to give the whole thing to the Kohen. If it's Chulin, at the very least, you have to give the Zroi L'chaim and the Keva. Rabbi said there's a third side here. You know what the third side is? I got it from the Kohen. No, I didn't get it from the Kohen. Also, Chachamim, she'en ezeicha, kezeicha. Zok the Gemara.
And actually, before we see the Gemara inside, it's good to speak it out outside. What do you mean he got it from the Kohen? I never got it from the Kohen. What's even the logic of this illogical situation? So, what's mavu in the Gemara is that being that you had two animals, and you gave one to the Kohen, we look at it as if the one that you're keeping, you bought with the animal that you gave the Kohen. So there were two animals. The Kohen had a schus on both of them. I gave the Kohen one, I got to keep the other one. Now the reason I only had to give the Kohen one and I got to keep the other one is because I only had to give the Kohen one. But the way we look at it is as if the one that I kept, I actually acquired from the Kohen. How did I acquire it? By giving him the one that I ended up giving. Either way, Zok the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Laza. But that segue. Everybody's Moedin, a classic case of a Safik Bechar, where there weren't two Becharis, and you gave one to the Kohen and you kept one for yourself. In that case, everyone's going to be Moedin, that you're going to be Chayiv Matanis. Who's the Hakom Moedin? Obviously, it's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, who said in the Mishnah that you're potter from the Matanis, in a case of a classic Safik Bechar, he's going to be moedi that you're chayiv a Matanis. Why? Because the Kohen is Balav, Mishnei Tzal, Veit Gemar Pshita, it's Pashit. Why is it Pashit? Adkan, the potter Rabbi Yossi, awesome. Why did Rabbi Yossi say potter in our Mishnah, the Chalip and Biyad Kohen? It's all because we look at it as if the Kohen had it already and that the Yisrael got it from the Kohen. How did the Yisrael get it from the Kohen? When he gave the Kohen one animal, he was essentially buying back the other animal. That's ganz gut when it was not a classic Safik Bechar, where there were two Becharis and you gave one, with this Chalipim Biyad Kohen, where I gave one to the Kohen. Avalein Chalipim Biyad Kohen Loi, but in a classic case of Safik Bechar, there's no Chalipim, I didn't give anything to the Kohen, to allow us to look at it as if the Safik Bechar that I have, I bought back from the Kohen, so you don't have the svar that I got it from the Kohen, so of course I should be chayv matanis. Because Manashach, if it's a Bechar, I have to give him the whole animal, and if it's not a Bechar, I have to at the very least give the Zroi L'chayim and the Keva. So the Gemara's question is, not, I don't agree with you, Rabbi Lazar, but pshita Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar is saying that Rabbi Yossi's halach in the Mishnah, that by Safik Bechar, you chayv matanis, is only true in this type of Safik Bechar. But in your classic conventional Safik Bechor, this halach is not going to be true. The whole svar of Rabbi Yossi is based on Chalip and Biyad Kohen. We look at it as if the Kohen got it, I got it from the Kohen, that's why I'm potter. That only makes sense where there were two animals and I gave one. So we say that when I gave you one, I bought back the other. But in our classic case of Safik Bechor, where I didn't give the Kohen anything, I'm just keeping the Safik Bechor because it's a Safik, and I'm Yitzhak Bechor Be'al. So how could you say it's as if I got it from the Kohen? What was that? There was no chalipin. There has to be something for us to be able to be toila the asu she'in ezeicha kezeicha. What are we being toileted in the chalipin? You only have a chalipin in the case of our mission. You don't have it in the regular case. Zok the Gemara, say now the tema. Rabbi Lazar was saying a chiddush because I would have thought time in Rabbi Yitzchak Kesavar. Imachayv said matanas asu degitavet. Maybe Pshat Rabbi Yitzchak has nothing to do with asu she'in ezeicha kezeicha. Maybe that's not really Pshat in Rabbi Yitzchak. What then is Pshat Rabbi Yitzchak? Rami is saying good. Rami is saying that how can you not be chayv in the Zroi L'chayv in Keva? Mamonoshach. Either you owe me the Zroi L'chayv in Keva or you owe me the whole animal. But Mamonoshach, you should give me the Zroi L'chayv in the Keva, right? That's the Kohen's Taina. The Teretz is Rabbi Yossi holds that even though really you should give the Zroi L'chayv in Keva, we're going to tell you not to give the Zroi L'chayv in Keva. Because if you give the Zroi L'chayv in Keva, it's going to look like it's chulin. And if it looks like it's chulin, people may treat the animal like chulin. And really, you can't treat the animal like chulin because this animal is a Safik Bechar. So people are going to come and it's going to be Asu, they Gizav, Avoida. So maybe that was the Yisrael of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was willing to take away the Zroi L'chaim and the Keva from the Kohen so that people shouldn't come with the Gizav, Avoida. But the point is that Afak after Enchalip and Biad Kohen, maybe over there you would have that Aloch, Kamash Malon. That's what Rabbi Loza had to clarify. I mean, it wasn't so pasha that was Pshat Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara said, time of the Rabbi Yossi is also Shein Ezeicha Kezeicha. But Rabbi Lozer felt that there was another way to understand Shittas Rabbi Yossi. The other Mahalach would be that maybe the Chachamim said, don't give Zroi L'chaim in Keva, lest people confuse it with real Chulin. Real Chulin, you give Zroi L'chaim in Keva. This is not real Chulin, this is Safik Chulin. So Misafik, you're saying give Zroi L'chaim in Keva, but if Misafik, you're going to say give Zroi L'chaim in Keva, that Safik may lead to other Kulas. People may treat it as Vadei Chulin. It's not Vadei Chulin. It's also Begiz of Avayda. So that's why he had to clarify. But the Gemara says, could you have made a mistake and think that that's Pshat and Rabbi Yossi?
Do we need Rabbi Elazar to clarify that that's not Pshat and Rabbi Yossi? But Tani Seifa, the Seifa is the next Mishnah on the Yud Ches Amud Beis. Says, "Hey, Rabbi Meir, Oimer, Kol Shechalib B'Yad Koyin, Patmanam Atanos." Rabbi Yossi, Oimer, Kol Shechalib B'Yad Koyin, Patmanam Atanos. Rabbi Meir, Mechayev. The point is, there Rabbi Yossi says Meforish, Kol Shechalib B'Yad Koyin, Patmanam Atanos. You see, it has nothing to do with this idea that we don't want a Safik Bechar that you should give Matanos because you may be makel when it, with Giz of Avoid, you may treat it like Vadei Chula. It's clearly only in this type of Sofik, where it's Chalip of Biyad Koyin. Clearly, Chalip Biyad Koyin in, and Chalip Biyad Koyin. Lo, okay, what are we doing Rabbi Elazar for? Rabbi Elazar is clarifying if all you saw was our Mishnah, but there's a second Mishnah. The Sefer, from the second Mishnah, it's already clear. It's you could have said that, no, maybe that Rabbi Yossi in the second Mishnah is going with Vav Dramer. Meaning, Lididi, Afilu, in Chalip Biyad Koyin. Maybe Rabbi Yossi said as a loch, even where it wasn't Chalip Biyad Koyin. But the reason is we don't want to be mechayev you, sorry, lechayim in keiva, because we're afraid you may treat it like vadai chulin, and you're going to be mekel with gizavoyd as well. Rabbi Yosef was telling Rabbi Meir was lidi dach, but according to you, you don't hold it at svara. Oydeli mios heichad lich libim biad koyin. Also, shein is leichik gizayich. At the very least, admit to me that in a case where it's chalipim biad koyin, that it should be also shein is leichik gizayich. So again, it's even though Rabbi Yosef gave a reason, you could have thought the reason was only livrei Rabbi Meir. So it's not clear what Rabbi Yosef holds. Maybe Rabbi Yosef's halach is based on the fact we don't want you to give zroy lechayim in keiva by suffik because maybe Mako by Giza of Avoida as well. That's where Rabbi Elazar had to clarify that no. Rabbi Yossi only said his halacha based on Asr Shein Azaycha Kizaycha. It's only by Chalipim Biyad Koyin. It's only by this type of Safik Bechar, by a classic Safik Bechar, he would never say his halacha. Amar Rapapa said, Hakul Maidav Safik Meiser. Everyone's Maidav. If you have a Safik Meiser, so you have an animal, you have a Safik if it's Meiser Behemoth or if it's not Meiser Behemoth. Shapat Mena Matanis. You don't have to give Matanis. Sok the Gemara. Hakul Maidav Man. Who's the one that's Maidav? Meaning Rabbi, even though Rabbi Meir said that the Safik Bechar of our Mishnah, not, but over here, Rav Meir is going to be Moida. Zokti Gemara Pshita. Why is it Pashit? Because Adkan loy kum mechayv Rav Meir Hasam. Why did Rav Meir say chayv in our Mishnah? Elo b'safik b'chayv. That's only b'safik b'chayv. Hel b'alav b'shnei tzadim. Because the Kohen comes with a tainus man of shalach. Avo safik meiser loy. What's the difference between safik b'chayv and safik meiser? B'chayv you have to give to a Kohen. Maisi you don't give to a Kohen. Maisi you keep for yourself. It's a very big difference. Because Safik Bechar, Mamad of Shach, you have to give Zorah L'chaim and Keva. Because if it's Chulin, you have to give Zorah L'chaim and Keva. And if it's Bechar, you have to give the whole thing to the Kohen. Safik Maiser, if it's Chulin, you have to give Zorah L'chaim and Keva. If it's Maiser, you don't give anything to the Kohen. What you do is you bring it as a carbon, but the Kohen doesn't get the Maiser Behema. It's not one of the Matnas Kuhuna. He gets the Bechar. He doesn't give the Maiser Behema. So it's Pasha Rav Meir Svara wouldn't work over here. The whole Rav Meir is based on a Mamon of Shach. So why do I need Rav Papa to tell me Hakom Moedim the Safik? Zokti Gemara, Mao the Tehman, no. Because you could have made a mistake. You could have thought time of the Rav Meir is not because of Mamon of Shach, but it's Tishtakach Teres Matanois. Maybe the reason Rav Meir holds by Safik Bechar in our Mishnah, you have to give Zorah L'chaim, it's not because of Mamon of Shach. It's because he holds that even Misafik, Zroy L'chaim and Keva, he was so machmer by Zroy L'chaim and Keva, Shloi Tishtakach Toiras, Zroy L'chaim and Keva, even in a case of a Safik, he wanted. And if that's the case, I feel Safik Maisa Nami, that even by a Safik Maisa, Kamash Malon, that's the Chiddush. But the Gemara says, Mimot Samrat, how could you say that? Vaktani Sefer, what the Sefer says, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Kol Shach, Chalib of Yad Koyim, Padma Namatonis, Rameyer Mechayef. And Rameyer says, Chayef. Now, what does it sound like? It sounds like the whole machloikis between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Meir revolves around, do you say Maman of Shach, you have to give the Zroi L'chaim and Keva by the Safik Bechar? Or is there a third side? The third side is, we look at it as if the Yisrael got the Bechar from a Kohen. But it sounds like that's what the Shaila is revolving around. The axis that this is revolving around is this Shaila. Rameya says, Maman of Shach, you have to give the Kohen the Zroi L'chaim and Keva. Because either it's a Bechar, you give him the whole thing, or you give him the Zroi L'chaim and Keva. And what do the Chachamim, what does Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi says, in Lomdus, there's a third side. In Lomdus, the side is that even though I have it, but I got it from the Kohen. And if I got it from the Kohen, I'm going to be Potter. The problem, the Gemara is saying, is that if Rameya's Shita is really based on a whole new Svara, some new abstract svara, that actually tishtakach teres matanos, even by a Safik, he's supposed to give it. So Rabbi Yossi doesn't sound like he's talking to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi is saying, asu shein azaycha kezaycha. It's very nice. It's a very nice lumdis. Asu shein azaycha kezaycha. But Rabbi Meir is tithing, at the end of the day, shloi tishtakach teres matanos, I think you should give it. If Rabbi Meir is coming with a mamon of shach, see, he said, there's two tzadim, and on both tzadim, you have to give it to the Kohen. So Rabbi Yossi, no, there's not. There's three tzadim. And in the third side, you don't have to give it to the Kohen. But if Rameh is not coming from the Maman of Shach, Rameh said his halach even by Safik Meiser, where you don't have the Maman of Shach, you have one side,
not two tzadim, certainly not three tzadim. It's based on this new svarish, like the shtakach teres matanos, that it doesn't sound like Remeir and Rabbi Yosi are talking to each other. So what's Rabbi Yosi saying? There's a third side. I mean, do it the third side. The point is, Zokti Gemara, no, you can say, Mao de Tema, Remeir, a philosophic maise mechayev, Vodim if we give a chalipin, like the acha koichad Rabbi Yosi, the potter, a philo hecha de koyim bala mishnei tzadim, kamash malon. Really, you're right. Really, this machleik from Meir Rabbi Yosi has nothing to do with Melman of Shach, and has nothing to do with two tzadim, a three tzadim. It's a more general machleikis, not even only Negeya, Safik Bechar, where the two Becharis were born at the same time. It could be Negeya, a regular Safik Bechar, even Safik Maisa Behema. And for that matter, they could have argued, Safik Maisa Behema, Safik Bechar, yeah, Matanis or no Matanis. Why are we getting involved in this shayla of two tzadim and three tzadim and making this a complex machlokes where it could have been very straightforward? The reason is, it's coming to say that Rabbi Yosi holds that even with his amamot of shach, there you think for sure Rabbi Yosi would hold that you should give the Zroya L'chaim and Keva, Kamashmon, that there's a third side, and that's why you don't have to give the Zroya L'chaim and Keva. What was the next machlokes in the Mishnah? If one of the two animals died, so we're going according to the Chachamim, where the two animals were born seemingly simultaneously. So the question is, what do you do with these animals? So the halach is, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, you give both of them to the Kayin. According to the Chachamim, you only give one of them. What happens if one of them died? So Rabbi Tarfin said, Yachloiku. Rabbi Akiva said, Hamoitze mechaveri Oliver Rai. Fake the Gemara, Hamay Yachloiku. Why does Rabbi Tarfin hold Yachloiku? What's Rabbi Tarfin hold? Rabbi Tarfin held in the beginning of the Mishnah that which one do you give the Kayin? You give him the better one. So let's see which one died. Ishamin miss. If the better one died, the Kayanu. The one that he has is his. The Kachosh miss. And if the weaker one died, the Balabayas miss. Then the Balabayas is the one that died. Right? Reb Tarfin was very self-confident in the beginning of the Mishnah what you're supposed to do with these animals. He said the stronger one is the one that comes storming out. The better one is for sure the Kibachar. That's the one you give to the Kayin. Then when it dies, Reb Tarfin said, Yachloiku. Why Yachloiku? If you know which one is the Bechar, now one of them died, just see which one died, and you'll know which one you're supposed to give, what you're supposed to do with the other one. Reb Abba, he said, Chazabai Reb Tarfin. This is such a good kasha. This is tufta. There's no way out of this. The after Reb Tarfin was Chayzer. The Reb Tarfin in the Reish of the Mishnah is not the same Reb Tarfin as Reb Tarfin of the Seif of the Mishnah. And if that's the case, you have to now revisit the Reish. What would Reb Tarfin hold in the Reish in light of the fact that he was Chayzer? He would hold Yachloiku. Reb Tarfin didn't know what to do. So whereas Rabbi Akiva held Amitz Mechavei Alvaraya, Reb Tarfin held Yachloiku, and it's the same Reb Tarfin, Rabbi Akiva in the Reish as it is in the Seif. What do you do with the one animal? Which one are you supposed to give to the Kayin when both of them are alive, according to Reb Tarfin, Yachloiku? So if one is worth $100, the other one is worth $200, together they're worth $300, you have to give $150 worth to the Kayin, you keep $150 for yourself, according to Reb Yakiva, no, give him the $100, prove to me that it's the other one, I'm keeping the one that's $200 now. What happens if one of them dies? Same thing. According to Reb Tarfin, it's always Yachloiku. According to Reb Yakiva, it's always going to be Amaitz Mechaveri, Oliver Rai. Zok to Gemara. Kiva, Oimer, Amaitz Mechaveri, Oliver Rai. Om Reb Chia. Reb Chia said, Moshel, Reb Tarfin, Amad Avadoyma. I'll explain to you Reb Tarfin's halacha with a Moshel. Lishnayim. Usually a Moshel is supposed to make the Gemara easier. Shnayim, Shef Kidu, Eitzel Raya. There were two people that both had animals, and they gave the animals to a shepherd, and they asked the shepherd to watch the animal, do what shepherds do. The halacha is that in the event that one of the animals die, and now at the end of the day, it's 5:00, it's the end of business, the shepherd shows up, he only has one animal. So he doesn't know whose animal was what. The halacha sheminiach roya beinei mistalek, he just leaves it and he checks out, he leaves, he goes home. Then they have to figure out between themselves what they're supposed to do. What are they going to do? I don't know, maybe Yachloiku. But the point is, Mashal Rav Tarfin L'mah Davadayma to such a case. Mashal Rabbi Akiva L'mah Davadayma. How would you explain Rabbi Akiva Shita? Rabbi Akiva held that if one of them died, I get to keep it. That's L'echad Shehifkid Eitzel Balabayas. That's a case where someone gave a Balabayas, someone who himself owned a sheep, his sheep to watch. So right now, I'm watching two sheep. I'm watching mine, and I'm watching yours. And one of them dies. So there the halacha is, Shamaitza Mechaveroi Oliver Raya. Meaning, if two people would give it to a shepherd, the shepherd's the innocent bystander. He doesn't own any sheep. He's watching Reuven sheep and Shimon sheep. And now, one of them dies. So there's no Shamaitza Mechaveroi Oliver Raya. Why not? Because he's not a muchzik. Doesn't own any of them. He's a shomer pekadim for Reuven, just like he's a shomer pekadim for Shimon. So Meniach, he says, I don't know, figure it out. In the case where
one of the two belongs to the person that's the muchzik. If the raya owned one of the two, and now one of them is not here, so now there's a shayla already of a moitz mechabel of a raya, because the one that you want to take is mine. Over there, it's going to be different. Now, pashup shat, the way you understand this gemara, is that the gemara is saying that Rav Tarfa makes a lot of sense in the case where two people gave the sheep to somebody else to watch, and Rabbi Akiva's halacha makes sense where the Baal HaBayis himself was watching the sheep. As if the Gemara is making a kimtas in Rab Tarfin's halacha and Rabbi Akiva's halacha, and they're not talking about the same case. Rab Tarfin was talking about with the owner, the person who had these two twins, these two sheep that were born, he took the two sheep and he gave it to Araya. And now one of them we know belongs to the Kayan, the other one belongs to the Baal HaBayis. They showed up, one of them was dead. Yeah, the halacha is yachloiku. There's no muchzik. Why is there no muchzik? The Baal HaBayis is not a muchzik, because he had given it to the Raya. The coin's not a muchzik, he never even got it. The Raya is the muchzik, Raya doesn't own any of them. So there's no mitzvah mechagal of a Raya. It's for that reason the halach is going to be achloiko. Whereas Rabbi Akiva's case was, where he never gave it to a Raya. So the Baal HaBayis himself had the two sheep, then one of them died, now the coin showed up at his front door. That's like the case where the Raya owns one of the two sheep. There the halach is going to be, ha-mitzvah mechaveroi all of a Raya. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, then in fact there's no machlokes over here. Ela b'may pligi. So what's then the machlokes? Rabbi Akiva polig b'shnayim shefkidu eitzaroy shemineach roya mestalik. Is Rabbi Akiva going to argue with the case of Rav Tarfin's marshal? No way. Rav Tarfin polig b'echad shefkidu eitzaroy shemineach roya mestalik. So there's no machlokes. So the Gemara, my Rava said, v'teimer rapapa, zamsi rapapa, zanakumayt b'shnayim shefkidu eitzaroy. Everybody agrees, you're right. In a case where two people gave a pekadon to a roya, shemineach roya b'nei mestalik, one of them dies, the roya could just leave his one sheep, and he can check out. And the equivalent thereof in our case is if the Baal HaBayis would take the two sheep, give it to a Raya, and then one of them die, everyone would be moedi. Even Rabbi Kiva would hold Yachloiku. The same is true. If the Baal HaBayis owned one of the two, of course he would say, I'm moedi al v'raya. So if he never gave it away, there'd be no machloikus. So what's the machloikus Rav Tarfin be? Akiva loy nechloku el b'chotza Baal HaBayis. It's talking about where this is still in the chotza of the Baal HaBayis. V'raya koyin. The Raya, the shepherd, however, was a koyin. And the Kayan was shepherding the sheep inside the chatzar of the Baal HaBayis. Rav Tarfin Sabra, Rav Tarfin holds a new chiddush. He says, "Aknuye komakni lebechatzeroy." That the assumption is that this person, the Baal HaBayis, was makna to the Kayan, his chatzar, because v'nichalei delasavin mitzvah v'mamoyne. Because he wants the Kayan to watch his sheep inside his chatzar. It's something that he very much wants. And being that it's something that he wants, we assume that he was makna to him. If that's the case, we look at now as the Baal HaBayis and the Kayan being shutfin in the field. Rabbi Akiva saw it. Rabbi Akiva holds. It's true. There's a svar of nichalei delasavin mitzvah v'mamoyne. And from that standpoint, it would make sense. It would be reasonable to think that the Baal HaBayis would be makna chelik in his field over to the Kayan. However, he's not going to do it if it comes with an invoice. And in this case, it comes at an expense. What's the expense? The expense is this case. If one of them is going to die, instead of the Baal HaBayis being the muchzik and the halacha being a moitz mechavei all of a raya, it's going to be that they're partners. There is no muchzik. It's like shnayim shefkidu eitz oraya. The halacha is going to be achloiku. V'havalei ke'echa shefkid eitz Baal HaBayis. It's for that reason the person was not makna his field. The halacha therefore is shamoitzi mechaveroi olav haraya. Simple daf. Exhale. Either way, I think it's kedai to go back, just to lighten up the daf a little bit, to Yarmulke's part 3. So again, this is a digression from a digression from a digression already at this point. But I think it's kedai. And just to go back and just two more ha'arais, one more halachadik, and the other one a little bit more from a drush, from an agada perspective. And that is that we spoke about the halacha that the poskim discuss, and everybody knows, that yidin, they cover their heads. We wear a yarmulke. But if you go through the sources in halacha, it's not clear at all whether that's something that one is obligated to do. Now again, just to be clear, the Gemara talks about it, and it's something that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and there's no shortage of marmakoimis that discuss the chashivos of the inyan, and it's a davar pashut ad l'ma'oy, that it's something that's very, very important. That's not the discussion. Loy alze onu danin. What we're discussing is from a pure halachic perspective. Is it a mitzvah saseh? Is it a mitzvah loy saseh? It's a derabanan? It's a bal nefesh yachmir? What exactly is it? And what seems to emerge from the poskim
It's a mevucha in the Shita of the Beis Yosef. It's pretty clear in the Darkei Moshe. That's the Ramah in Arichayim Simin Ches. It's extremely clear in the Mashal and Atshuva in Simin Ayin Beis. And come out, all the Paiskim go with this. And that is that the idea to not walk Dalet Ames Begili Rosh, the concept of a yarmulke is a Midas Chasidus. Now again, just to be clear again. And that is that usually when you think of a Midas Chasidus, so a Midas Chasidus is, it's one of the prakim in Mesilas Yesharim. So when you get up to Chasidus, so then you worry about Midas Chasidus. But there's a lot of madrigas that you have to get to before you get to that. This is clearly a very different type of Midas Chasidus. This is a Midas Chasidus brought down a Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber says it in Simen Beis, lo yelich tal ramos begili rosh. So it's a Midas Chasidus on the one hand, but at the same time, it's a Midas Chasidus that's brought down a Shulchan Aruch, which in a sense is a little bit of an oxymoron. But the point is, it's a Midas Chasidus that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and the Poskim treated it at the end of the day as being a Midas Chasidus. And it's for that reason we spoke at two tshuvas from Ramosha. One is in Chayshe Mishpat, Chelik Aleph, Simin Sadik Gimel, a tshuva that Ramosha wrote in 1962, where Ramosha was asked that there was a Yid who applied for a job. He got the job, but the criteria was that he would not be able to wear a yarmulke. He wanted to know, is it okay for him to take the job if it means he's not going to be able to wear a yarmulke? Rav Moshe said, yeah. He said, because by a mitzvah, saseh, the halach is, ha-mevazviz al yevazviz yoyis mechaymish. You don't have to sacrifice more than a chaymish for a mitzvah saseh. He said, this is not a mitzvah saseh. It's not even a derabbanan. All it is a midas chasidus. So if it all is a midas chasidus, no question, when it comes to a person's parnasa, which is treated like a hefsin merubah, we look at it in a halacha as being Yosem Michaimish, so there's no question in the world it's not something that you are going to be obligated to do. And Rav Moshe said the same exact thing in Arichayim Chelik Dal. But in both tshuvas, Rav Moshe had to address one shita, and that is the shita sataz. We went through this quickly at the end of last week, but I think it's kedai to spend a little bit more time on it right now. And that is, there is one shita in the Paiskim that says clearly that it's not a Midas Chasidus, that it's usur to walk Dalet Ames Begili Rosh. And that is the sheet of the Taz. The Taz is in Simin Ches, which is really where this whole shmooze begins. And the Taz says as follows, venerally, sheyesh iser gomer mitamacha, that there's an iser gomer, but from a different perspective. Being that the minhag today is amongst the non-Jews, that they do this tamid. As soon as they sit down, they take their hats off. It falls into the category, certainly this, which is something that's related to Tam. But the point is, he says that the Ummah Sa'ilam, everybody wore hats, and when a person would come into his house, he would sit down to eat, he would take his hat off. So that act of removing your hat in certain settings is something that the Gentiles do. As a result, it falls into a pasuk, last week's parashah, ubechukai say em loisei lecho. It's actually not only aser, but it's a loisei say, ubechukai say em loisei lecho. It's a very chomer digger loisei say, and says the Taz, it's to me aser levina. So the Beis Yosef, the Darkei Moshe, they were all coming. Is there a pure iser to walk Dalet Ames? The answer is no. But being that the Ummah Yisraelim do it, there's a new reason. It falls into the category of B'chukai Seim. There's a lot of things that fall into B'chukai Seim Loisei Lecho. But at the end of the day, it's a Loisei Seim. And if it's a Loisei Seim, it's going to be a problem. Says Rav Moshe, if that's the case, in both Tshuvas, he addresses this, then how can I go Paskin Kineged? You can't Paskin Kineged the Taz. The Taz is one of the Gdeli Apoiskim. So you can't go Kineged the Taz. If you can't go Kineged the Taz, so if that's the case, to go without a yarmulke is a question of a Loisei Seim. A Loisei Seim, not only do you have to be mevazvez chaymish, but the Ramah says in two places you have to give away kol mamonai. All your money. It's referring to all loisaseis. So for every loisase, you have to give away the kol mamonai. Right? When it comes to giving up your life, but when it comes to your money, the Ramah paskins b'chol nafshecha is only the big three. U'b'chol ma'idecha, that's true for every lav. So b'chukisayim loisei lechu is sure loisasei. So what about the lav? Says Rav Moshe, and he dismisses it very, very simply with a pshitos. He says, it's pasha to me that this taz is not something that's relevant b'zmanenu. He says, once upon a time there was such a taz. He says, but today people are not makbid in this chayk. This formality, I wear my hat and then I sit down, I take my hat off, or when I pray, I take my hat off. It's not something that people are makbid in anymore, and it's for that reason, the kalos, Rav Moshe said, even though there is a taz that's hovering over this whole shaila, but at the end of the day, I don't think at all that it's going to be a big deal. The problem is another tshuva for Rav Moshe, a third tshuva. It's actually the first tshuva in Igros Moshe. It's Erechaim Chelek Aleph,
It's Siman Aleph. So the very first tshuva printed in Igros Moshe is Bekisoy Miktas Harosh LeInyan Leilech Berchayv Leim Brach. It was about yarmulkes, and he began with a very big chiddush. Rabbi Shlomo Kluger said, "This is a tremendous chiddush." Rabbi Shlomo Kluger argued with all the poskim. He held that you have to wear yarmulke. Mi'ikra din. He said, "Not only do you have to wear yarmulke, but the yarmulke has to cover your entire head. And if a small part of your head is not covered with the yarmulke, you're not yoytze yarmulke." And Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, if you look it up, it's in the Elif Lachas Shloima. It's Moshe doesn't bring the siman, but it's in the Elif Lachas Shloima. It's Chelik Aleph Simin Gimel. And Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, it's a very short tshuva. He says that this yesoid, and he says ubezem miyushiv kol akushyos. Doesn't say what the kashas are. He says all the kashas in the sugya of yarmulkes are miyushiv with this yesoid. That is two types of yarmulkes: the yarmulke that covers your entire head, which Rabbi Moshe says maybe right of the head would be enough, and then there's the yarmulke that only covers a part of your head. But regardless, that's the chiddush of Rabbi Shlomo Kluger. Rabbi Moshe wrote a whole shuv about Rabbi Shlomo Kluger's chiddush. He asks a lot of kashas on it. He says it's very tamu in halacha. But let me skip all the way to the end. Not much the last paragraph. Uledina. So what's the bottom line? What Rabbi Moshe write in this tshuva is the bottom line. Uledina yesh lesser afilu bi yeshiva mitzad choy ka'akum kahatas. He says halacha, it's aser to sit even without a yarmulke, because of Chukas HaAkum, like the Taz. V'amogen Avram, Mashmash HaPolagal, the Taz, Rav Moshe says. V'amogen Avram sounds like he argues with the Taz, but V'tzarech Iyum B'taymai. I don't really understand the Mogen Avram. V'ulai, he says, B'yeshiva, Afa Mogen Avram, Yoida. It could be even the Mogen Avram would be Moida that you're not let us sit. The Osam Yishum Choy Ka'akum. Shekei Noisim, because that's the real Choy Ka'akum. Because Sheyoich V'nlecha, when they sit down to eat, Oibachaburis Anashim Ba'alma, Lahasra Akoiva, to take off their hat. But to walk outside, being that that's then the Goyim do wear, then it could be, it won't be a problem to take it off. He wants to say that maybe it's more chomer based on the Taz to sit without a yarmulke than to walk without a yarmulke. Because the Akon will wear hats when they walk. It's only when they sit that they take it off. But the bottom line is, just one part of this Ramesh, it's a little confused, but one part. Uledina yesh lesser, afilu bi yeshiva, mitzad choyka akum, kataz. And then he has a whole arichos. What does the Magen Avram hold? And he comes out clearly like the last words of the first tshuva in Igros Moshe. What are the last words of the first tshuva in Igros Moshe? Trivia question. V'yesh lesser kehatas. Yedidei ha-mevarchai b'chol tov, Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's how he ends. V'yesh lesser kehatas. So what's going on over here? You have three tshuvas. Two tshuvas, Rav Moshe. Famous tshuvas, the tshuvas everybody knows and everybody quotes. Rav Moshe, you don't have to wear yarmulke when you work. That it's only a midas chasidus, hamavazus, ayavazus, yosef michaimish, and you have to read the fine print in Rav Moshe. It's only mamish when you're in the place, and if it's only because you're embarrassed, that's not a good enough excuse. But the point is, there is two tshuvas like that for Rav Moshe. He had a third tshuva, where Rav Moshe said very clearly, v'yesh lesser katas. But I think the answer is, and the Teretz was inspired by Rabbi Yehuda last week, and that is the first tshuva, this tshuva white hair, when did Rav Moshe write? Vav Elul Tovshin Tezayin. It was written in 1956. So you have three tshuvas. The one where he says Yesh Lesser Kataz was written in 1956. The two tshuvas where he was making were written in 1962 and 1974 respectively. Now forgive me. But what happened between 1956 and 1962? A little bit of American history. Lahavdol. John F. Kennedy became president of the United States. And when he became president, he did something which was considered to be a big precus oil. He didn't wear a hat at his inauguration. And a lot of people believe, historians, that the hat became unpopular and non-fashionable outside of Orthodox Jewish kreisen from that point on. That was sort of the beginning of the end of the hat, right? You look at pictures from the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, everybody's wearing hats. And then all of a sudden, no one's wearing hats anymore. And that was the beginning of the end. The point is, it could be, I don't know, this is way above my pay grade, but it's very possible that Rav Moshe's tshuva in 1956, you know, New York City in the 1950s, everybody wore hats. And at that point, it was still Chukas HaAkum. There was certain protocol that people conducted themselves with, and Rav Moshe held the Yesh Lasser Kataz. 1972, 1974, the world had changed already a little bit. At that point, the Kubid Halacha was already going to be a little bit different. Just a ha'ara. That's the halachic part as it relates to the drush. So we mentioned that there are gemaras that talk about this idea of not going outside without a yarmulke. One is the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis. Omer Rav Huna, Bereder Rav Yeshua. Tesi Li. I'm going to get a lot of schar one day.
in the Ulam Ha'emes. You know why? Because I don't walk Dalit Ames Begila Rosh. It's interesting. The same Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua said in Mesechtes Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph. Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, Le Maski Arba Ames Begila Rosh. He would have walked Dalit Ames Begila Rosh. Oh, Mashkila Lamayla Mirashi. He said, because the Shechina is Lamayla Mirashi. Now, incidentally, you have a Mufurish Gemara. Oh, you can't go Dalit Ames without a Yamaka. Is this a raya that it's us or is the raya that it's mutter? It's a raya that it's mutter. The Vilna Gaon of Bir Agra Simin Ches says are two gemaras that I'm a furish that it's mutter. Because what Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua said? He said, Tesi li, I'm going to get a lot of schar that I don't walk Dalit Ames Belay Gilui Roish. What do you mean? If you're not allowed to walk Dalit Ames Belay Gilui Roish, why is Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua getting a lot of schar? Ki lakach noi tzorta, tachsik toiv ala atzmecha. This is what he's supposed to do. Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, he didn't do it. Why? He used to say, Shechina lamayla miroishi. Sounds like this was his chumrah. Either way, two Gemaras, Gemara Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches on the base, a Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph. I'm going to tell you a Dover Nifla, but Behektim, something that we've spoken about a lot over the years. And that is, there's a Braisa, you may have heard of this Braisa, it's called Asorim Mila de Chasidus, that Rav was Noyek. We've spoken about this Braisa, Afeichba, Afeichba, de Kulaba. One of the Makairis, Seyda Adairis brings it, one of the Makairis to this Braisa is the Chidah, and it's Pesach Hinayim at the end of Masechtes Menachos. He brings it there, the Arichos. If you go through the Pesach Hinayim, see, he brings the Makairis, Makair number two, or chumra number two. Do I have a maski Dalit Ames Begili Arosh? He didn't walk Dalit Ames Begili Arosh. The Nag Rav Huna Acharov. And Rav Huna, after Rav was Nifta, took on this minhag. And that's based on the idea that the Braisa says that after Rav was Nifter, his Talmidim wanted to perpetuate his memory. So they took it upon themselves that they're going to keep these chumras that Rav was Noyek. So Rav had Asorim Mili de Chasidus. There were 10 Mili de Chasidus that Rav was Noyek. And after he was Nifter, his Talmidim wanted to perpetuate his memory. So they decided that amongst themselves, they'll divide it. And each one or a few Talmidim, they're going to take on this chumra. The second Mili de Chasidus that's mentioned in this Braisa is like Havi Maski Dalit Ames Begila Arosh V'Nag Rav Huna Acharav. I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim for Rav David Yoel Weishlita. He brings that the Rezina Rebbe wrote a Sefer on the Asorim Mili de Chasidus. I had it in my hands once for years ago for a short period of time. He writes in his Akdama that he was going through a court case and it was a very serious time in his life, and for a schus he wanted to write a Sefer. So he wrote a Sefer on the tzava of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, and he wrote a pirish on this braisa, the Asorim Mila de Chasidus of Rav. Dover Nifla. But either way, in that sefer, he says that I think that maybe the girsa in the braisa of Asorim Mila de Chasidus is wrong. Because the girsa says Rav Huna. He says there's two gemaras in Shas. One is a gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches. The other one is a gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph, where Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, never went Dalit Ames Blei Torah. So if that's the case, it's mashma that it's the same Rav Huna. The problem is, Stam Rav Huna is not Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua. So he says, I think that it could be there's a tois in that braisa. It probably wasn't a perfectly edited braisa. And I think that it's really not supposed to say Rav Huna. It's supposed to say Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua. But he says, I have one problem with that. Because Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua was not a Talmud of Rav. I mean that he wasn't a Talmud Rav, it doesn't work. Because it says that his Talmud Rav, that's the whole theme of the braisa. That Rav's Talmidim were the ones that did this. So if, that's right, Kovnei Agayla, it's true. I didn't think of that. But the point is, so it says, the Megadim Chadashim of David Yoelweis, that I found a tremendous Marim Makoyim. The Sefer HaYuchsin also brings this braisa. And he says as follows, Asorim Milu de Chasidusa Nimtzu Berav, Shekalecha Mitalmidav, Vetalmidei Talmidav, He says, according to this Gersa, it wasn't just the Talmidim of Rav. It was the Talmidei Talmidav of Rav as well. Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua wasn't a Talmud of Rav, but he was a Talmud of Rav. Not sure which Talmud, but he was a Talmud of Rav. And if that's the case, says Rav David Yoel Weiss, it's Geshmak. It could be it's not Rav Huna, but it's Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. In other words, that Gemara, Masech de Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches on the base, is Ma'od Matim with the Braisa, Asorim Mila de Chasidusa de Rav. Because after Rav was Nifta, his Talmidim,
And according to the Yuchsin's Gersa, his Talmidim's Talmidim, they perpetuated his Zikaron by taking on these Chumras. It's Gevaldik, it's Ravuna Breid Rav Yeshua. But then he's Moisef Neufach. He says something mamish beautiful. He says that if you look at that Gemara, the Gemara over there, what's the theme of the Gemara? Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara mentions different Amiram who said, Tasty Li, I'm going to get a lot of schar for doing certain things. So one of the Tasty Li's in the Gemara is Amr Rav Nachman. Tasty Li, the Kaimis Gimel Sudah B'Shabbos. Rav Nachman said that I'm going to get schar because I used to keep Gimel Sudah B'Shabbos, the Chidah, and that's safe for Pesach Inayim. He says, why was Rav Nachman so taken aback? He was so nisragish. He said, Tasty Li, I'm going to get Gevaldige schar. You know why? Because I kept Gimel Sudas B'Shabbos. Very nice. I kept Gimel Sudas B'Shabbos. I hear vice stories from the Gemara that there's ways out of the third Suda. It could be Yitz with Talmud Torah, Gefilte Fish, Beiris, whatever. But that you for sure see in the Gemara. But the bottom line, I ain't Shom B'Chida. But the point is that the Chida says, why was Rav Nachman? He thought he was going to get such a beautiful schar for what he did. He says, because if you look in that Braisa, Asari Mil de Chasidos of Rav, one of them is, it's number three. Da have a Mekayim Gimel Sudas B'Shabbos. And you know what the Braisa says? V'nohag Rav Nachman Acharav. And Rav Nachman followed. Rav Nachman did the same thing. That means when Rav Nachman kept this chumrah of being very, very makbid in Gimel Sudas B'Shabbos, whatever that means exactly, of being makbid in Shalosh Sudas, it wasn't just a chumrah in the Veltarein. He was perpetuating the zikaron of his greiser Rebbe Rav. And says the Chidah, that's why Rav Nachman was so nisragish. He was so nisragish because he felt that by me doing this, I'm keeping up Rav's chumrah, and it's for that tasty. I'm going to be rewarded not just for the Gimel Sudas. I'm going to be rewarded for the fact that I'm keeping up this minute that Rav went ahead and did. Says the Megadim Chadashim that the Chidah said it about that one chumrah of Rav Nachman. He said, but the truth is, if you go through that Gemara, he says five of the chumras that are mentioned over there in that Gemara, that different Amiram said tasty, are related to five of the 10 of the Asari Mila de Chasidos. Rav Nachman said, Tasili de Kaimus Shalas Sudas B'Shabbos. Rav Yehuda said, Tasili de Kaimus Iyun Tfilo. He was very machbin in Tfilo. If you look at the Brides, Asari Mila de Chasidos, Rav was always mechavim betfilo. Rav Yehuda is probably Rav's most famous Talmud. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. How many times does it say that in Shas? Rav Sheshe said, Tasili de Kaimus Mitzvah Tfilin. That was one of the chumras of Rav. That Rav never went Dalet Amos B'Lei Tefillin. Rav Sheshes, of course, was a Talmud of Rav. He speaks out five of them. The fifth is Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. Said, Tasted Lei Sagina Dalet Amos B'Gilui Roish. Even though the Asar Mid Chassidus says that it was Rav Huna, but it's Mistaber, he says, based on the Girs of the Yuchsin, it doesn't have to be his Talmud. It could be his Talmud's Talmud, that really it was Rav Huna Breid. And that's the theme of that Gemara. So you have a Gemara of Tasted Lei. At first glance, it's a bunch of Amiram that are mentioning random things. But really, the rest of the story is that these were Talmidim of Rav. And Rav had this chumrah of Asari Mila de Chasidusa, and they took it upon themselves, and they were very nisragish by what they had done for their Rebbe, and it was for that reason they felt tasty lead, they're going to get gevaldig geschar, not just for the actual chumrah, but also for the fact that by observing this chumrah, they're perpetuating the memory of their greiser Rebbe Rav. But one thing is for sure, if not walking Dalet Amos without a yarmulke is mentioned in the Braisa of Asari Mili de Chasidusa, it certainly sounds like it's a Midas Chasidus.